From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Have you tried beet juice, baking soda, blood tests? We'll hear the latest in low and high technology for elite athletes.
But first, nurse Casey Hickox has now defied Maine's 21-day Ebola quarantine order more than once. First speaking to reporters outside her house last night, and this morning, going on a bike ride with her boyfriend. Maine officials want a court to enforce the quarantine order until it expires on November 10th. Hickox returned to the U.S. after treating Ebola patients in Sierra Leone for Doctors Without Borders and was initially quarantined in New Jersey before being allowed to return home to Maine. So how far can a state go to enforce a quarantine order? Robert Gatter is co-director of the Center for Health Law Studies at St. Louis University. Professor Gatter, welcome.
Thank you.
So Casey Hickox, as we know, has no symptoms of Ebola. Does she have a case? Is it not legal for the state of Maine to tell her she's got to stay in her home?
She does have a case, Jeremy, and she has a pretty good one. The law needs to defer to the science, and the science is clear. If you're asymptomatic for Ebola, you're not infectious for it. She can't communicate it. What we don't know is whether or not it's incubating in her body. But while it's incubating, she is not infectious.
But isn't it reasonable for authorities to take precautions? Because the moment that she becomes symptomatic, if she does have Ebola, then she is infectious. And then it may be too late and she may already be talking to the mailman or down at the supermarket or whatever.
Well, I think reasonable is the key word. Reasonable should be tied to the science. If we tie it to the science, then yes, there are some steps that states can take. For example, I think it's perfectly legitimate for a state to order that someone who is asymptomatic be subject to public health workers laying eyes on them, testing them with the blood test to see if any level for Ebola has risen, taking their temperatures, continuing to ask them questions about what sort of physical symptoms they're having. But mandating that someone be quarantined as if they're infectious is inconsistent with the science and so unreasonable.
Let's look at the precedent for this, because I know that this goes all the way back to 1872. There's power under U.S. law to prevent the spread, in that case, of yellow fever. There was a quarantine put into effect during the influenza pandemic of 1917-1918. Tell us about the history of this.
Well, I think the most important piece of history here isn't so much precedent at the federal level. It is an understanding of our two-governmental system. States are the ones with the police power, and states are the ones who are going to be dealing with individuals who were exposed to Ebola and may become infectious. The way the CDC guidelines are working is that individuals who enter the country initially are questioned and evaluated by federal authorities, but if they're going to be quarantined, if they're going to be subject to further observation, they're fairly quickly handed off to state officials. And state law ends up being the most important then. Every state has the police power. The police power allows states to take actions to protect the welfare, health, and safety of their citizens. And that's where this would fall. And that power is broad, but it's not unlimited, and it's still subject to individual rights protected under the federal constitution. And that's where the fight will be. The key will be whether or not restricting movement of someone who is asymptomatic for Ebola is a fundamental liberty interest under the 14th Amendment. And I believe it is. Necessity would require the state to put on evidence of why someone who is asymptomatic for Ebola poses a health risk to others. And the science right now says that that individual is not.
But again, that individual becomes a problem as soon as that individual becomes symptomatic. The moment that that individual is symptomatic, and that could happen when they're out on the town and with other people. So doesn't the state have some discretion in deciding that they are a public health threat even before they become symptomatic?
Yes, but monitoring is not the same thing as quarantining. I think it's perfectly legitimate for the state, and I think they can make the case that it is necessary to monitor someone like Nurse Hickox. That could include knowing her whereabouts. That could include having a public health worker take her temperature once, twice, three times a day. But it needs to be tied to the science. I have asked some infectious disease experts about the process of becoming infectious, and the answer that I'm given is they will spike a fever first, and that's the warning sign. Then they go to the hospital. When they become really dangerous is when they start losing lots of bodily fluids in large amounts, but that does not happen instantaneously. So someone, as I understand it, can't become an immediate danger. They spike the fever, and that's the warning sign that they do, in fact, have the disease.
Do you think this is going to end up at the Supreme Court?
No, I don't. I think this is going to be resolved mostly at state court levels. I think the United States Supreme Court would lay back and watch what happens. Some federal courts may get involved. But by the time it could make its way there, I believe that the international outbreak of Ebola will be contained and people will be a lot less scared.
Robert Gatter, co-director of the Center for Health Law Studies at St. Louis University, thanks so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure.